Hi everybody, welcome to The Limit Breakdown, where we break down the latest in TV, movies, and things going on in entertainment. Today we are going to be reviewing Season 4 of Stranger Things. And for the first time ever, we have a split decision in our ratings for the season. So I'm giving the season 4.5 hearts.
We're giving it a 3.5 hearts.
Yeah, so stick around after the intro. You're going to see where we differ in our opinions. And yeah, so stick around for the deep dive.
Everybody, and we are now going to deep dive into Season 4 of Stranger Things. We have a split decision of a 4.5 hearts versus a 3.5 hearts. So let's see what the difference is. Migs, why did you like the show so much?
Okay, so for me, I thought a lot of this worked. I thought that them giving us the backstory of Vecna worked very well. He was a very good, consistent, big bad. I thought he was going to be just another big bad, like just another, you know, one season, one shot, one kill type villain. And the fact that from what I could interpret, they made him be the controller of the Mind Flayer, basically. Yeah. So that, and tying all that back to the Rainbow Room, tying everything back to 11, I thought it was really well done. I know a lot of people aren't fans of the whole Hopper and Russia thing. I thought I enjoyed it. It was a bit more comedic than the rest of the show. And it was, at times it was a decent break. I don't know the actor's name. I call him Jack and Hagar, but he's the same guy from that played Jack and Hagar in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And then what was it?
The Russian guy.
The Russian, yeah.
Which Russian guy?
The Russian guy that was
the one in the prison. The prison guy that was helping Hopper.
That's Jack and Hagar.
Yeah, that was Jack and Hagar from Game of Thrones.
Like the no-face guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No!
Yes! Yes!
Well...
Yeah, see, he's no one.
We don't talk about.
But yeah, I thought he did a great job. I thought there were moments of levity. There were some really interesting and powerful moments for me. Some of the early conversations between Eleven and Mike, where he was, you know, not really wanting to express how he truly felt about her, and then her needing to hear that he cared about, that he loved her, and him being unable to say it, and how much that actually meant to her, and how much she actually meant to him. The little training montage I thought was pretty cool, getting back her powers, like,
yeah,
that was pretty cool. And then the standout for me, the standout for everybody is Eddie.
Like, oh, man.
Like, he's, like, I am upset about the fact, like, that scene is the single reason why it went from 4 to 4.5, but the fact that he died is the reason that it went from 5 to 4.5.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Because, okay, yeah. Dude, I'm not a big Metallica fan, but that song,
that's like one of their best songs. One of like their five.
No,
best
no,
songs.
I'm, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not a huge Metallica fan. Sorry, but
I'm really rethinking this friendship.
But. Well, you know what? I'm going to keep you and me out of this, okay? But, yeah, no, that scene was so epic. And what's even cooler is the actor, he actually learned how to play the actual notes. So when they zoom in on him playing the guitar, that's actually him playing the guitar.
That's pretty cool.
So that was pretty awesome. But that scene was just epic. Epic in all points. Yeah, so that it really, really hit good for me.
So I do understand your points, and I think they're great. I also think that the show was amazing for those aspects. Eddie, obviously, I think is a great character. That scene with Metallica was rocking. I thought it was a great scene. Vecna being who he is, you know, we get the backstory of Eleven finally. We understand mm-hmm. that he has been controlling the Magic Flare and basically causing all the stuff that's been going on mm-hmm. in the previous seasons. I thought it was great.
I mean, yeah, it started with him.
Yeah, started with him, ending with him, started with Eleven, and I think that's great. My biggest gripe wasn't the rest of the series, is mainly the last episode, which is a 2.5-hour movie, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the time. It was that the show dragged on, especially the last episode. I think the last episode dragged on a lot. There was a lot of, like, just emptiness. I understand that they're trying to build an emotion, they're trying to build the suspense aspect, and I get that. But a lot of times they dragged it on. That episode itself could have been cut in half by like an hour had they just not done any of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the emotion, here's the characters are feeling, here's the suspense, move on. I will tell you the specific scene was when Eleven was inside the mine and she was wrapped up. Vecna was standing in front of her and in front of Max. They're
mm-hmm.
both, you know, choking out or whatever, and Vecna was just doing his classic villains thing that they did back in
the monologue.
Here's
yeah.
my monologue about life, which is, you know, whatever, we needed that. But then it just kept going, and then he slowly does his walk, moves to Max, and then he's like, I will now kill you. And then he's taken like half an hour to like do his hand, and Max is like, and then it just, that scene was just drug out. I think that, and it wasn't just that moment, it was multiple moments like that where I was just like, you could have cut this in half.
By
right?
like a millisecond?
By a lot, by like minutes. And I think that's the one thing that I didn't like. But also, as famous as this song became, the Kate Bush's song, Running Out of My Hair, Running Out of My Hair, which I think is a great song.
I mean, that was a great scene, too.
It is a great
yes.
scene. Max doesn't seem like a person that would listen to Kate Bush.
No, you can't say that. You can't say that because nobody
Maybe.
Ever looks like what they listen to.
True.
You should be listening to just Hindi music.
Oh, damn.
You're kicked off the app. True, but I'm just saying. It just didn't fit her character type to me. So, what about you?
About your music choices or about the movie?
About the show.
The
season.
I think it was a 3.5 only because the support characters like Max, who I would still consider a support because she's not
yeah.
the original, Argyle, what was his name, right?
Yeah, the
hippie
dude that's
yeah.
smoking
yeah.
all the time.
Him.
Yo, I don't care what you
he
guys
was
say.
Good.
Argyle was awesome.
He was
one of my favorite characters.
Eddie and Christy and like everyone else, most of those four, really made the show compare
yeah.
to everyone else. Because we all connected with Eddie because he was that outsider, the weird one, you know somebody in your high school that was
mm-hmm.
like him in some way, shape, or form.
But
a super senior.
Yeah, super senior.
But he turned out to be one of the greatest, you know, super nice guy, heart of gold,
yeah.
yep.
phenomenal character. Yeah.
And that's a good point because that was what they did with what was the jock's name?
I don't even know his name.
The one that had
yeah,
he
the
was,
one that
Chrissy's
was,
boyfriend.
Yeah.
yeah, he was supposed to be like the
Steve?
Beacon of not Steve. Don't
Jason.
Anyways,
God.
But he was good. He was his point of being a upstanding citizen really just showed him being a dick, and Eddie, who was branded as a bad person, was actually the best person,
mm-hmm.
and I like that twist that they threw in there into the like little curveball.
It was very twisty.
But I like them more than I liked Will or Max or Eleven. Like, they just were the same from the past season. They were just 1,000 miles apart.
So I would have to disagree on one. I do agree on the support characters. I think the support characters were great. I disagree on the main character. The only main character to me that was very, as Linda
bland.
Says, bland, wet blanket in this in this particular season, was Mike.
Oh God.
I think Mike was not what he was. They threw in that, you know, Will now coming out to his best friend and all that jealousy,
he didn't come out.
Correct, but
they laid the
groundwork. It was an innuendo.
It was the worst kept secret.
Yeah. Minus his hair. Holy
God.
Oh
my God.
That's the true villain of this entire series.
That is the true
His barber is the true villain of this entire series.
This is Barber, okay?
Yeah.
Which we'll get to Winona in a second.
Look, if I was him, I would have thrown away that bowl ages ago.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I think Will coming out to his friend, when he showed them that...
He never came out.
Well,
yeah.
When he was showing them the picture, and he's like, hey, this is us fighting the dragon and everything,
yeah.
And then he's like, you're the heart. That scene just... I understand the...
Captain Planet.
Yeah, I understand the importance of that scene. I think it was a very important scene for him to finally explain to his best friend, you know, kind of what's going on, but it just... I don't know. I feel like it was a little too extra. And then throughout the whole thing, Mike never did anything to be like, I am the heart. They threw it in there at the end when Eleven was, you know, fighting Vecna and she was in her trance. And Will's like, oh, well, you're the heart. And he's like, and then Will's like, oh, yeah, well, if I'm the heart, I can bring her back.
Mm-hmm.
Any of them could have said anything they could have brought her
back. I think it was a little more nuanced than that. Mm-hmm. I feel like, for instance, it wasn't so much as like, oh, I am the literal heart, but it's more like, I'm the one that kept everybody going. In the case of Mike, I think that it was, especially in that scene where he comes back, like, it wasn't so much a literal I'm the center of the group, and more of
I hold them together.
I bring the emotion, and it also led him to be like, hey. Eleven needs to know that I love her. She needs to know that.
They're young love. First loves. They're not going to figure it out. At that time, they didn't even know what love languages were. So, you know.
Oh, and then that was the other thing, the aspect. Because I know I've heard the criticism about Will, about how he was kind of like super angsty and cringy and everything. But you also have to look back. Like, it's what, 1986? 84. 84, right? I mean... It was a different world back then.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we got the stereotype of, like...
Yeah, and so you know, you think back then, like, you know, he doesn't know how Mike's going to react.
True. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how anybody's going to react, and it's probably absolutely terrifying. So in that aspect, I thought made a little bit of sense for me. I agree with you guys on the supporting characters were the standouts, but I feel like that was intentional. I feel like they wanted to give us a little bit more, from the people around. But at the same time, man, like Steven and Steve.
Steve
and Nancy, like
Steve.
Nandy's.
I love me some Steve, man.
Yeah.
I think Steve is a great character. Steve and Andrew.
He really made a great dad.
wait, with six kids? Was it six or five? I can't remember.
I mean,
that he said
with
he wanted...
four, and then Robin, and then along came everybody else.
Steve's a great character. I think the Steve and Nancy triangle with what's-his-face is just... I think they're just throwing that in there.
Look,
I just...
Nancy needs to just... Like, I don't even remember his name.
Jonathan.
Nancy just needs to let go. Like, there's a saying in Spanish, amor de lejos es pa' pendejos, that basically means, long distance love is for dumb people. Mm. So, like, it's not gonna work.
Well, there's also a Spanish saying called, ¿por qué no los dos?
So,
I mean, if we're going by Spanish saying,
oh my god.
But yeah, I still, yeah, I agree. I think this season they can definitely, they, the the love they built out to Steve and Nancy was, I think, really good. And then Jonathan just needs to do whatever Jonathan does.
I thought it was cool with Lucas, him trying to kind of find his own way.
That was his name.
Trying to find his own way, you know, when he was striving to be popular with the jocks and everything.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of afraid that, you know, he might fall into that, you know, go too far thing and kind of like switch sides for a second.
Yeah.
But I was glad that you know, they were able to bring him back in. His sister is always a standout to me.
She was
awesome. So dope.
I think she
what
did
was
a
it,
great
Lady
job.
Applejack? Love Lady Applejack.
She did a great job. Her character developed. Because originally, they were giving her like one-liners here and there. They're really good. I think finally they're like, look, everybody loves you. Just put you in the show as a main or a support.
Yeah.
And I think she killed it. The actress did a great job. The writing of that character is also really good. I think.
One thing for me that was kind of just something that made me think is just like, man, it's really gotta suck to be a police officer in Hawkins. Like, all of this weird ass just going on all the time. And it's just like, okay, so wait a second. So, you're saying that she floated up in the air, and then her bones broke, and then her eyes rolled in the back of your head, and then she fell down.
You're like, how much you've been smoking, kid?
I'm going to need a toxicology report.
I don't know the kid that was high, what was his name again?
Argyle,
I don't know.
He was a
genius. I think, and I love it when what you're thinking in your mind happens in the show, or they say it, because I was thinking while they're in the desert looking for the stuff.
Desert or desert?
The desert. And I was like, how is this dude still high? And then the moment later, they're like, how is he still high?
I forgot about that part.
I was like, that crushed it. I think that part was really good.
It was a different time, so, you know, different strands.
Yeah. So, one of the things that I think that was a pitfall in the show was when Eleven is relearning how to use her powers, and then towards the end of it, when the military comes, and that whole scene just seemed weird to me. You know, basically she's going through these two dads. One supportive one, the helicopter one.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when she gets her power, she kills the military people. One of them shoots Papa, right? And he's lying on the floor.
Justified.
And he looks at her and he says, you know, I truly did love you. I really do care for you. And then she's like, nah, goodbye, bye, right? For her, I think that was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't understand if what he was saying mattered or was he still blowing up smoke. Because we know as a character,
that's just manipulation.
He blows smoke all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, well, I really did care. So originally that's what I thought. I was like, it's manipulation. He still wants her under control. But he knew he was going to die. How do you dissect that? Do you say, well, he knew he was on his deathbed, and at that point he had no reason to lie, and he was actually being sincere? Or did he say that because he's like, but he still wanted that control even in his dying birth?
I don't think it had anything to do with him. I think that he wanted to manipulate her, but that ultimately he knew that that's what she needed to hear. He might have been sincere. Mm-hmm. It might have been genuine. He probably did care for her a whole lot, but at that particular moment, she needed to hear that from him. And she needed to hear a recognition that, you know, he recognized that what he did to her was wrong.
But she didn't care, because she never gave him, like, oh, well, you know, rest in peace. She's like, no.
Yeah, but
she never took his hand. Like,
I mean, but at the same time, like,
but it's,
you could accept someone saying something to you. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it or like them for them saying it.
And I mean, just because it's not something that's hitting her in the moment doesn't mean it's not going to hit her later. Like,
true, and I think they were going to use that, like, the whole heart thing with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to, you know, maybe they would have done a flashback of him saying that he loved her, that Papa said that he loved Eleven, but that wasn't where her heart was. That's not where she connected to. I mean, she was starting to remember all of her training when she was doing her retraining and what she had to endure, because she forgot all of that. She remembered what happened to her mom and I think her dad. I don't know where the dad came from. But either way, like, she was starting to remember all these things, that why she built such a hate. Like, just because someone says, you know, I'm sorry, doesn't mean...
Changing gears a little bit, the reveal of Vecna, I thought, was really well done. The mansion was
that was a good twist.
I thought, I think that part was really good. That's why it's hard for me to say that it was not a good show. It was a good show. That reveal was great.
Mm-hmm.
When they finally did the backstory, and you kind of understand what's going on, and then when you finally see that, oh wait, what was his name? Henry.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, Henry has powers, and you're like, and as you're thinking in your head, they're doing it in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was pretty lame, though, when they were like, you're a one and you're 11. We're meant to be, you know, all power. Just like, that's a stretch. Calm down. If they're just numbers at this point. But...
what was it? Two was really powerful the whole time.
Yeah, but he was a jerk.
So, let's talk about standout moments for you guys. Obviously, we've already talked about the Eddie standout moment. I think that was probably one of everybody's favorites. The Max one, too, when she escaped Vecna for the first time.
That was real good, too.
Yeah.
Especially when her near-death experience really kind of made her not change gears. I liked how they explained her point of view of Billy.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, that was a really good scene as well. I really enjoyed them diving back. And Billy, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you look back at somebody that you might have had a complicated relationship with. Because, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Billy was an a-hole. And you know,
Billy was classic jerk.
They did not have a great relationship. But at the end of the day, that was still her older brother.
Stepbrother.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, that she still cared for her. And then at the end of the day, he resisted long enough to help them.
Yeah.
You know, so when it mattered, he did what he had to do.
So that ties back into the Papa.
Yeah, the redemption too, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, that is Billy being genuine and showing love.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sacrificed just for that moment to make sure that the kids were safe. Whereas Papa, you're still kind of like...
Was it genuine or not? Yeah, that makes sense.
I just want to slide back into that moment. Worst army ever.
What do you mean he found the secret bunker? Why did you put it on the map?
Door.
Like, how are you... I mean... I think about, like, stuff like this, and it's like, how do you even get funding for, like, these incognito groups? But then again, it's like, literally, like, okay, well, I mean, they're not going to spend $30,000 on a hammer.
Yeah. So,
I mean, this was the 80s, too, so they could have just done some, like, scientific funding, aliens, you know.
But just, it's like, all of these facilities, all of this, I'm like, where... Is this sponsored by Chevron? Like, like, how do you afford an underground bunker?
Yeah. So one thing that's interesting is we keep talking about the support characters, the main characters, support characters, main characters. This is the reason why I gave it a 3.5 rather than a 4. Nobody is talking about this side quest that was going on in the whole series. That was Hopper and Noah Ryder and Murray and whatever.
Peanut Butter Man.
And Jack and Hagar. I think that side quest...
Yuri
made no sense to me. I understand why they put them in there because... So there's two things, right? One, you do it narratively, right? For the narration, you need a story. And the characters are popular and you need them to do something, right? Mm. Hopper being alive, fine. I can deal with that. Them going to Russia, saving him, side quest, whatever. how Stranger Things is usually set up, and I actually enjoy this, is, if you watch all the seasons, everybody has, like, their own experience that's going on throughout the season, and in the last two episodes, everybody comes together. They're like, oh, you know this, I know this, you know this, I know this. They come together, make a plan to beat the bad guy. Majority of all Stranger Things does that. I think that's very... I personally enjoy that, right? Obviously, maybe rinse and repeat, it doesn't get entertaining, but I thought this was going to be very similar, but that whole side quest just made no sense because until maybe the last episode, they never really connected why, you know, the upside down and the Demogorgons. Russia had a Demogorgon. They're like, okay, now we see maybe there's a connection, but then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Until the last episode, they're like, oh, we got to help the children, and let's kill the Demogorgons and the Mind Flayer
mm-hmm.
that they have, or what they, I think they called it, the Shadow or something,
mm-hmm.
and that can help the children,
mm-hmm.
right? That part made no sense to me.
Yeah, because all of that was off of speculation.
It was all speculation.
Yeah.
They had
just like, this might help. You don't even know if it was on the same timeline. They could have done this at a different time.
So here's my thought process on that particular... a side quest, as you put it, and like I said, we had the split decision, and here's the reason why I didn't bother me as much. Narratively, I thought they had to do it because the whole goal was to bring Hopper back,
yeah.
right? Hopper went through the hole, and I don't know if it's like a hole that you dig through China where you end up on the other side, but apparently that's what happened with the upside down in the Hawking's lab, like. Apparently, it doesn't lead to China. It leads to Russia. So, learn something new every day, kids. Don't dig a hole to Russia. But yeah, so, you know, he ended up in Russia. I thought it was interesting them being able to use the back channels. A couple of questions that I had was, how in 1984 did she have $30,000 in the bank? She went to the bank and got $30,000 to take to Hopper. That was just one of my questions. But all
I think
that
it's because she was white.
$30,000.
She could have taken out a mortgage on her house. I don't know.
Yeah, not middle age. Mid level.
Yeah. Middle income. Middle class.
Yeah. Middle
level. Yeah.
No, but okay, so yeah, back to my point. Narratively, it made sense for them to have to do something in Russia because they had to bring Hopper back some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
They tied that with the creatures. Now, obviously, none of the Russians were going to be going into the upside down. So they were having creatures that were coming from there. Now, of course, Russians being Russians, as we like to portray them as evil scientists, they're doing experiments with the Demogorgons and you know, and it was all of these things. So as they're trying to do their thing, and you know, they realize that this is somehow connected to Hawkins, mm-hmm. right? I don't remember who was it that they talked to when they were trying to make the phone call back to the U.S.
They were talking to the girl.
Yeah.
The woman that
the good doctor. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, the good doctor, the military
yeah.
guy was talking to.
And so that they used her to link the two stories.
Yeah.
Because it was like, hey, the kids, you know, something's going on with Eleven, something's going on in Hawkins, there's some weird stuff.
It's about to go down,
right? So Hopper already knows weird stuff going down in Hawkins. These damn kids are gonna be neck deep in it. So
yeah.
they already knew. So they thought, I was like, well, maybe if there's anything that we can do on this side, because they knew for a fact that even if they got a working helicopter and Yuri? Like him pretending to fix the helicopter. I thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
Look, very Borat-y.
Yeah, very, very Borat-y. I thought he was good comic relief. I thought
yeah.
it was funny. And then the other guy, the guy that originally spoke Russian in Hawkins, him being a black belt and fighting Yuri, that was hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah.
But they were like, okay, well, hopefully this can somehow help the kids. Because they knew that, seen that mist, Yeah.
The shadow thing.
And
was it the Mind Flayer?
It was a part of the Mind
Flayer. Yeah. So it was basically them doing what they could where they were. Because like I said, even if they got the chopper to work right then and there, there was no way they were going to make it back to Hawkins.
Yeah.
So the only thing that they could do right then and there... And little fun fact, the sword that Hopper used from to defeat the Gorgon is the prop from Conan.
Yep.
Yeah, that was
the
really
Conan. So let's start with my gripes. Right? Group one. Right. Besides that, the side quest not making sense, whatever. So how they portrayed it in the show was Hopper and his team take out the Demogorgons, which hurts or distracts Vecna, right? So that the kids can do what they need to do to defeat Vecna, right? So Eleven is fighting Vecna in mind via
Max.
Mm-hmm. Steve, Robin, and
Nancy
are in the Upside Down, actually killing right? And then Hopper, again, also on distraction duty, killing the Demogorgons. How it is in the show is he slices their head off. Eleven happens to hurt Vecna at the same time. That gives Nancy and Steve time to throw the Molotov.
Yeah.
What didn't make sense to me was we don't know. It never fully shows or explains that did Hopper killing the Demogorgon actually hurt Vecna or distract him? Because during that time, he was still fighting Eleven, and so it doesn't show that, you know, there should have been one scene where he's like, I'm hurt.
Weren't they connected in the mind?
Yes, but they don't show that it actually distracted him, so that part didn't make sense to me. Number two, where did the sword come from?
They had a cache of weapons to fight.
Not on the ground. There was nothing on the ground.
Yeah, when they did the whole prisoners having to fight their way, there was no sword.
There was no weapons.
I thought there was a cache of weapons. I was pretty sure there was a cache of weapons.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, here's a sword. Like,
yeah,
there was no
sword. That part didn't make sense to me. Maybe I missed it, but that didn't make sense.
Yeah, I was pretty sure there was a cache of weapons.
I didn't see a sword, nor did I see it on the ground. I was like, that makes no sense to me. But I understand that they verbally said that it's going to connect, but it didn't show it. That part didn't make sense to me. So they could have, had they just not done it, I think they would have still defeated Vecna. Mm-hmm. Because basically, the main fight was Eleven fighting Vecna in the mind. That was, to me, the main important part.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that was happening, I think
the whole thing is completely useless. The thing that I understood it is it wasn't meant to be like this major contributing thing. It was supposed to be just enough of a distraction to give them just a hair of an opening. Just give them an inch of an opening to be able to take advantage of. And that's what it did. From what I was able to see, it was just enough of an opening for,
again, their timing is perfect.
Yeah.
I think that one small sliver of timing,
mm-hmm,
was a complete side quest that didn't happen for Hopper and Winona Ryder.
Apparently, breaking out of a Russian prison is really easy. Also, breaking back into a Russian prison is really easy.
You're crazy wanting to go back.
That part didn't make sense to me. So
you're right. They had to explain how they brought Hopper back. That is it. I think they're just
That's the whole point behind it.
They just had to make it more like, well, how do we tie this into the
I think they fell short of how do they tie it into the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And I think that is
what they had to find a way, because in Hopkins there was the Russian lab of
I think it was a little
switching gears once again. I was really disappointed. I really liked Chrissy. And I was really disappointed that they killed her off as quickly as they did.
Dude, that TikTok song stuck in my head.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the fan art of her and Eddie?
Yeah, that's so man. Cute. Yeah, oh, that, I ship them together so much. because Chrissy's the cheerleader, right?
Yeah.
She's all, like, cheerleader and dainty. And because of her persona and because of Eddie's persona, they are able to complement each other to wherever he's bad and she's good. She draws the goodness onto him, so he thinks about his actions and becomes a better person. Whereas he puts onto her, you know, it's okay to take a little bit of risk or think about yourself. You know, it's classic archetype.
Yeah.
Attraction.
Yeah, I can see that.
But
it's
totally cute because they switch clothes and then he'd wear like.
Like so that took a turn.
Not in that kind of sense.
All of that. I can see that. So I think I can see that.
But yeah, no, that was really kind of bittersweet. Like I like that they showed, you know, the different sides to both of them. It sucked that they killed her off because she could have been, she could have probably been a good addition to the crew.
Probably not.
Maybe like a support character.
I already
have a support character, Max.
But I'm saying,
she came from the last season.
Unless
they kill her off and bring Chrissy.
How Erica is.
I was really disappointed that they didn't really kill Max.
Okay, thank you. That was gonna be another one of my thing.
Does Eleven now have powers to bring people back?
Yeah, I didn't like that one either.
Well, but I mean, she didn't really bring her back. Like,
she's
in a coma, but like,
yes,
her mind is empty.
Yes, but she brought her, like, she was dead. Her heart stopped, her brain activity stopped.
Yeah.
She brought her back, at least. She is mostly dead.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that didn't make sense. I think if they had just killed off Max, I would have been 100% sad.
I mean, if she has psychic power, she could have also had a little bit of electricity, you know, 1.21 gigawatts right to the heart.
I feel like if they had just killed off Max, I would have been satisfied.
I thought so. Like, I didn't want her to die.
Correct. I think it was very much.
I didn't want her, but I thought...
I think they did for the next season.
Yeah.
I think if they had killed her off, it would have been way better. I think it was a great, because they put so much emotion into, what's his name? Sinclair's, what's his first name?
Lucas.
Lucas is seen, he's like, he still wants to be one of, like, the jocks, but he realizes, he's like, no, I am who I am. He has that fight scene with the jock, very emotional, he cares for Max, and then they kill her. I think that emotion was so perfect, bringing her back ruins that whole scene.
Yeah.
So I think they could have just left her off dead. And I did not like how the jock died.
Yeah.
Because he never got it's fitting that he died. It's not fitting how he died. Because he was basically, I understand him. I don't condone his actions.
Yeah.
Right? I understand he was upset about Chrissy. He's like, oh, this dude killed my girlfriend. He's a crazy guy, whatever. He goes kind of off the rails.
Kind of.
His redemption his death should have been at least somewhat, he's like, oh no, I have messed up. Or whoever's beating him up is like, no, you're wrong. You know, Lucas beating him, or that's how he dies. But in his mind, he was still right till the very end.
Yeah.
And then he just gets ripped in half with the thing, which he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And he still thinks that it's Lucas' fault, or the alpha, and then he dies.
Yeah.
Not to mention the townsmen have painted him
And the other, that's kind of one of the things that one of the few things that I didn't like is, I wish they would have, I'm okay, like, I didn't want Eddie to die, but I'm okay with him dying, because he went out like a boss, but at the same time, I'm so upset that the town didn't get his redemption.
Yes. Yeah,
like
so.
he should have been like the one moment where Dustin is talking to his uncle and he's telling him, you know, he's like, no, like your son was a hero. I mean your nephew was a hero and all that, and it's just like, yeah, man, like I wish there would have been some way that they could have redeemed Eddie At least in the eyes of the town. Yeah.
Yeah, so,
that was never gonna happen.
So I think that
not at that time period.
Well, it could have. That's something. If they had seen what's going on, if they had done something where maybe the bats come out of the upside down, and then he does something, they're like, "Oh my god!" It was, you know, something along those lines. So basically, now in the town's eyes, the jock is a martyr, a hero, and he died for what he believed in. But Eddie, who is truly a good person at heart, they're like, nah, this dude sucks.
Well, that's what the writers intended to do.
Yeah.
But I see, that's one of the things that I don't like, and that's why...
Maybe they did that on purpose, so that you think of, you know, the so-called good person that has all these good attributes about them. Maybe they're not really good people. And the good people are the quiet people, or the misunderstood people.
Yes, but as a narrative, I think that was not good that they did that. I did not agree with it. And that's another reason that I didn't like that I didn't rank the show as high as it could have been.
Are we gonna talk about how Eddie could come back?
He is not coming back as a vampire.
You don't know that.
So there is a fan theory.
A very good one.
For any true D&D players out there, or if you're
new, like me.
New D&D player. Anyways, would you like to continue this fan theory?
Yes. So the fan theory is that Eddie got bit by the vampire bats and it has been said that you can't die from the bats. Like, the director said that you can't die from them. And the theory is that Eddie's not dead. He got bitten by too many of the bats, and he's becoming a vampire. I was going to say Batman. But
he's becoming a Batman.
And he goes and becomes a henchman for Vecna. And then he's the henchman of Vecna, and he will eventually betray Vecna because he remembers
his past
with Dustin, who's probably going to break that for him, or with at least the other kids. That is the theory that, and I don't know who put the theory out there, somebody, but that's the theory that they think that's going to happen to Eddie, is he's going to come back. Probably might not be able to come back in the way that we want him to, like back into the town. They may not do that, don't know, but I don't think he'll be able to leave the upside down if he does come back. Like, he'd have to be stuck there.
The upside down. Gotcha. That makes sense. Fair?
Yeah.
I hope to see him.
That's supposedly from, like, D&D lore books or something. I haven't gotten too far into that, but, yeah.
So, winding down, let's go ahead and give our final thoughts on the season as a whole.
I'll start. I think the show itself was really good. A lot of scenes were really perfect. Good storytelling, good characters, but there were the pitfalls that it had, especially with the side quest of Hopper, the last episode being a little draggy, and certain things that just didn't make sense. As much as I want to give it a higher grade, I stand by my 3.5 hearts. Overall, still a good watch. I still recommend everybody watching if you haven't seen it. But overall, I stand by my 3.5 hearts.
Final thoughts, Linda?
I still stand by it. Even talking it out and hearing everyone else's, I still stand by it. Like, the support characters were the better characters. The main characters were going through their weird life crisis. Everyone has that awkwardness. But they didn't hit the mark as well as the support characters did.
I really enjoyed... It's difficult with a show with this many characters in it. It's really difficult to really be able to balance giving everybody a satisfying narrative. I definitely agree that not everybody had a satisfying narrative. But I think that them expanding a little bit more on the supporting characters was a good thing. I think they gave us some marquee moments for the series. When I look at the series as a whole, I do think this is probably one of the stronger seasons.
So,
better than the last one, I would say that.
I think season Well, obviously, season one to me is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think season two is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I think season two is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest standout for me, you know, outside of Eddie, the big reason why I enjoy the season primarily is because we get the final reveal of Vecna and of what the big threat and what is, and then the fact that he didn't fail, like he executed his plan. He, you know, he opened gates, and now they've got, you know, part of the Upside Down out into Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that in the next season and how they wrap it all up. Because I think next season's supposed to be the last season, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's what
and
I heard.
This 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
2 years.
I feel like they could have just kept it going. Just keep it going. Like, don't stop. Just, I will wait to have all of it, then do this. Wait 2 more years for them. Like, I'm not going to be the same person in 2 years.
Instant gratification. Just
never
be happy.
Yes.
Fair. But thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in with us. We appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys watching. We've got much more content coming down the pipeline. We still got the giveaway for the Stan Lee figure for when we reach 100 viewers. We're very, very close. Got 89 so far. So
11 more people.
Getting close to that. Appreciate all the support that we've gotten, and we look forward to bringing you guys some more reviews. Thanks.
Thank you.
If you like our videos, please subscribe and hit the like button.